Don't miss a minute of Ruined Dits for breakfast on the Catch Up podcast. For Adelaide Tools, with 5 locations, Paraka, Lonsdale, St Mary's, Gawler and Mile End. Or go online at adelaidetools.com.au.
Oh, good morning, Roo. Unfortunately, we're talking about the same thing again today, aren't we? Terrorism in the headlines.
Yeah, they seem to be on a bit of a roll at the moment. They've inspired each other to go out and create carnage all over the bloody world at the moment. So it's not good and probably won't stop until we do something different about it.
Well, you know, we've got Mel the button push in here and Alice the wag and you and I, and we're chatting this morning. And, you know, I mean, Alice just said something. Yeah, are we on the verge of something real, real big here? I'm really fearing what's going on, Roo. We're going to delve into this later on this morning. The nation of Qatar, which is the wealthiest nation in the world, has just made an incredible announcement. They're kicking out all foreigners and asking all of their own nationals to come home. They've stopped their planes flying.
They're giving 48 hours.
48 hours. I mean, this is an incredible announcement. And they are in the middle of the Arab world, right, which is a Muslim population, sort of one of the largest in the world. Their neighbours are all angry with them. If you've booked a Qatar Airways flight, and a lot of our kids do, they go to Europe because Qatar Airlines are a cheap airline. They have suspended
they
all
fly
flights.
Here, don't they?
They do. I mean, these sorts of announcements are very, very worrying, Roo.
Well, they're scary. Different. It's very different for us. We haven't been through anything like it, like you said the other day. But it's going to be interesting how it all unfolds.
Roo, when you've got Donald Trump in charge in the US, we've got North Korea doing what they're doing at the moment, very unpredictable. We've got this Islamic State situation all over the world. It is a bit fearful of what's going to happen.
You're right. No, I am. Without overplaying it, it's certainly the most unstable, obviously, in the world in my lifetime, I think.
So when we grew up, and I keep talking about this, I'm living in the dark ages, but I grew up in a place where we used to sleep with the front door wide open in summer, never locked our cars, never locked our houses. Boy, things have changed now when we've had a Link Cafe siege in Sydney. We've had last night's terror attack in Melbourne, supposed terror attack. Mm. It is now ever-present in Australia. We're part of it. And
yeah,
we never used to be.
And where it is in Melbourne is one of the best parts of Melbourne. It's one of the most, the richest parts of Melbourne.
Mm. Gee, anyway, the other stuff happening today. We're going to have some fun as well. We're going to play on, but Tex Walker's coming in, Roo. Talk about fun. He's going to face a grilling.
He's not having a lot of fun at the moment.
He might not want to come in.
He's getting bashed from everywhere. So, interesting stuff. But we'll ask him about that because a lot of people are angry about the way the Crows are going at the moment as well.
Yeah.
Pete Hellier will have a laugh with Pete.
We're going to meet a new superhero, Roo, this morning, the Carpinator. Tell me about the Carpinator.
Well, everyone who loves the River Murray, one way or the other, I mean, we all shower from water from the Murray, so we've got a connection with it in some way. There was a story a couple of years ago about, or a year ago, that they're going to try and eradicate carp out of the Murray and by giving them the herpes virus, and they're going to clean it all out. Well, they're taking another step towards actually starting that program. So we're going to get the latest update from the Carpinator.
So this bloke, the Carpinator, is going to help save the Murray.
Yeah, exactly. Right.
He is a superhero.
He will be a superhero if you can do that.
Ruined Dits on this Tuesday morning at 6:09. It's 9 degrees, so a little bit warmer this morning, which is good. Warmer than it's been at this time for, what, about a week or so. And we're doing it all for Adelaide Tools.
Ruined Dits for breakfast. 104.7 Triple M.
6:13, Ruined Dits on Triple M. Fair bit happening around the world as far as news is concerned, Roo. Still a young 21-year-old. You see her on the front page of the paper today, missing in London.
Yeah, they got grave fears for her. Dits doesn't sound good. Even Malcolm Turnbull said it, so you'd think he'd have the inside word with what was going on over there.
So her mum and dad are jetting out of Brisbane, I think, this morning to head over there and try and locate her. Let's hope she's alive and well.
Yep, no, not good
but
at all.
No one's heard from her.
No, the Melbourne siege yesterday, early evening, this is the sound. Imagine cruising around one of the best streets in Melbourne and then hearing this.
Oh my God, gunshot.
So we now know that Melbourne shot dead the gunman. Police shot dead the gunman. He rang Channel 7 newsroom, would you believe, and said, "This is for Al Qaeda, this is for Islamic State." Actually rang the newsroom, so whoever took that call, that would have been quite frightening in itself.
No, yeah, you don't know if people are pranking or not, but you can't take it as a prank these days with everything that's going on. But as I said, this is like in Unley or you know, somewhere better than that near the water.
Springfield or something.
Yeah, near the water, but it's a beautiful part of town. Stuff like that doesn't happen there. Mm. Just Unbelievable stuff on a Monday night. They wouldn't have thought this was about to happen.
Now, I mentioned Qatar just moments ago. I'll read this as it is on news.com. So Emirates and Etihad Airlines have suspended all flights to and from Qatar as the Arab nations sever diplomatic ties to the country. They've given citizens 14 days to leave. So we said 48 hours. So Bahrain, Egypt, Saudi Arabia, Maldives, Yemen, Libya, all of the United Arab Emirates have announced they'll withdraw their diplomatic staff from Qatar. Now, this is the nation. It is the richest in the world, and it's going to host the 2022 FIFA World Cup as well. So they're gearing up for that. These countries have ordered their citizens out of Qatar, and given Qataris abroad 14 days to return home. So they're isolating Qatar, and it goes on
So the nations have said, get out of there, and Qatar have also said,
yep,
get out of
here. Our citizens come home, and they're rejecting, they're getting rid of all foreign diplomats. Now, this is all about the fact that all of those around there, now, I don't know if you've ever been to that part of the world, Roo, but you say Dubai, right? There's Dubai, Bahrain, Oman, Qatar. They're all little, they're called the Emirates, Arab Emirates. They're all not far from each other. And I thought they were all quite neighbourly, but it turns out they've all turned on Qatar, saying that they support Islamists. In other words, these terrorist organisations. They're pointing the finger at Qatar, saying, stop supporting these groups.
Gee,
what it's about.
Big accusation.
So now they're going to start arguing amongst themselves, and this is going to spiral out of control. This is terrible. So I mentioned before, if you've booked on a Qatari flight out of Adelaide or out of Australia, if your kids are, because a lot of our kids book these flights because they're cheap, and my kids have used Qatar Airlines, they have suspended all their flights. This is going to this will be turmoil in airports around the world.
Mm.
So, yeah, things are being turned upside down at the moment, Roo.
Well, I think our Crows chairman's the head of the Adelaide Airport. He might know a little bit about what's happening with Qatar Airlines if we need someone to speak to. That's interesting, isn't it?
Yeah.
Bloody hell.
Quite a drastic move. And when you look at, I mean, money in the world, as you know, the powerful nations with the money, this is what wars have been fought over as well, Roo. So we're not just talking terrorism, but when you're the wealthiest nation in the world, I don't know, they wield a bit of power.
Yeah, oh, absolutely.
They've got gas and oil. All sorts of things can happen.
Yep, absolutely. We're going to cross to Melbourne next. It's and have a chat to Nathan Templeton. He's in Bay Street and on the scene where the event happened last night.
All right, Ruined It's on Triple M.
Ruined It's for breakfast on 104.7 Triple M.
Sadly, a terrorist attack reportedly in Melbourne. Anyway, let's go to Nathan Templeton from Channel 7 Sunrise. Nathan, what happened on the streets of Brighton yesterday afternoon?
Yeah, good morning, Ditz and Roo. Absolutely horrifying stuff here, and we're just learning more and more about the man at the centre of all this, and we believe that it's now officially being treated as an act of terror, or certainly terror-related. So, look, yesterday afternoon at about 4 o'clock, a woman called up to say she was being held hostage. When police arrived, they found a man had been shot dead in the foyer of these service departments. And the woman was in one of the apartments being held hostage. They tried to negotiate, but the man made a run for it and started firing at police as he left the apartment. He actually hit three police officers, but thankfully all of them are okay. Mm. And the police, the special operations group, returned fire and killed this man on the spot. So two men dead, one is the suspect, one man murdered. And three police officers hit by the bullets. But, even more concerning part of it is now that the man who was shot dead by police is being identified as a man called Yakub Khairy. Now, he's a 29-year-old immigrant from Somalia. Now, he has previously faced court on terror charges. During all of this, someone made a phone call to the Channel 7 newsroom in Melbourne, claiming, I've taken a hostage, this is for IS, meaning Islamic State. Mm. Now, obviously, that was cause for concern, and we relayed that information to police just to, I guess, maybe help them know what they were dealing with. Now, it turns out that Yakub Khairy, in 2009, was part of a alleged terror plot to blow up the Holdsworthy Army Barracks in Sydney. Now, he was acquitted of that charge, but after being cleared in 2012, he carried out a very violent home invasion in a Melbourne suburb of Dallas, and was sentenced to 5.5 years and served about 3. And we're now hearing that he was actually out on parole when this has happened last night. Oh, so
geez. We've got to toughen up all this stuff. This is getting ridiculous, isn't it?
Yeah. Well, look, the motivation for last night isn't clear. Whether it's a motivated by a sort of a terrorist cause or whether he's just, you know, a troubled madman. Yep. But either way, when you look at all the, you look at all of his history, he's got a history of violence. He's got a history of being linked with terror organizations.
Yeah.
Now, it's just a recipe for something like this to happen. And he's he was still being monitored by counterterrorism.
Yeah, but what does that mean? This is what I want to find out. What does it mean? Yeah. You just got his name on a database? Are we tracking him every 5 minutes?
That's a good point, yeah. I mean, clearly, he was considered low risk. So, you know, it makes you wonder how much surveillance was being done on him. And I guess, you know...
Who was the person killed in the apartments, Nathan?
Well, he hasn't been identified yet. So, look, there is a chance that it's not linked to terror. This is just a really disturbed person, and it could be a love triangle, it could really be anything what set it off, but you know, this bloke's got a history of substance abuse as well. When he did that home invasion, he was found with a meth pipe on him, so you know, he's a pretty disturbed bloke. But I guess now they've got to find out was part of the motivation for the whole thing, you know, linked to terror. The latest we've been hearing, overseas media are reporting that Islamic State are now claiming him as a soldier of theirs. Now, that's possibly just sort of PR where they've read what's happened and heard that he mentioned IS and then just jumped on board and said, oh, yeah, he's our bloke.
Yeah.
We don't know about that, but the fact that it's sort of got to that level where it's being reported overseas and Islamic State are claiming, I guess responsibility for at least for who he is.
Nathan, thanks, mate. Thanks for that report. Nathan Templeton from Channel 7 Sunrise. Roo, I know what you're thinking, and I am too. Like, this known to police and, you know, serving 3 years, all of the... I mean, for God's sake, if we're not learning right now that we need to tighten up and change... We don't even need to change laws. The laws are in place. Just enforce them, for God's sake.
Yeah, but I think the person of interest stuff needs to change as well. I think we have to be a lot stronger. And right. unfortunately, but we have to make our place safer.
Right now, the Western world and all the world thinks that Donald Trump's a little bit radical, right? In fact, very radical. And he talks about things like travel bans, but is he far off the mark?
There's a lot of people suggesting, I think, that even immigration from countries that, you know, not hotbeds or whatever, however you want to describe it, of terrorist activity. There's people that
stop immigration from those countries.
It's hard to argue, isn't it?
At the moment, it is.
Indeed. You don't like to think of it like that, but, you know, what do we want? Do we want terrorist attacks in our backyard?
No, we don't.
I don't. 104.7
Triple M. Tex! It's Tex Walker, Crow's captain.
Distinctive Homes, perfect for your lifestyle. Our house, your home.
Oh, very good morning, Tex Walker.
Morning, Dits.
Now, Tex, I sense you're a little bit down, you're a little bit battered and bruised. By the time you leave here this morning, we're going to have you up and about. I'm going to have you running through brick walls.
Am I a bit down?
You look it.
Yeah, I am a little bit disappointed.
Have you taken on board what people have been saying about you, or have you totally ignored it?
As in?
You personally.
Who?
Dermot Brereton, KG here on Triple M's had a bit to say. Have you heard the criticism?
I heard briefly what Dermot Brereton said.
Yep.
I couldn't care. Honestly, I couldn't care less what
he said.
Doesn't
bother you one bit?
Nah. Well, put it this way. If I started listening to what commentators and media people said, then they've already got me. I lose focus of what I know works for me, and I lose my ability to listen to the people that I trust.
Well, you know if you're in form or not, don't you?
Look,
any decent player, half decent player, knows and accurately assesses whether he's playing well or he's not playing well.
Yeah, I'm not in the best form I've been in my career,
but you're not in bad
form. I still
had
seven shots on goal on Friday night, so yep. I'd be kicking myself if we were losing. I wasn't having an impact that way. But that's not the be-all and end-all of my game. I need to have a presence with my spot that I play and just compete like I'd... It's my last contest, and I'm probably not at the level that I expected myself. And I'm working as hard as I can at training to practice being in those situations.
You remember last week I said to you, you know, this is a defining moment of the season, defining game, because, you know, you hadn't been able to get on top of them before, and if you could, that would mean you'd improve. If you haven't, you know, might sort of nothing had changed, and you sort of fobbed that off a little bit. Did you think it was an important game for that sort of thing, or did you think it was just another game? Because I certainly thought if you could go down there and do it, then I'd go, wow, these boys have improved. But the fact that you went back there and did sort of very similar to what you did both games last year.
Oh, look, I was very, very confident going down there. I thought we were going to put it up to them, and we're in pretty good form. We'd come off a great four-quarter effort, probably the one game this year that we've been able to put four quarters together. But you walk away disappointed in that the fact that we got beaten by, I think, 30 in contested ball, which we know starts our game, and most teams now use that as their stat. So just disappointing that we weren't able to on the big stage.
What were you most disappointed about?
Probably,
you didn't perform in a big game when...
Yeah, probably a bit of everyone's watching Friday night footy, and just our contested footy stuff across the board wasn't at the level.
Were you annoyed at the lack of fight? I didn't see any sort of aggression or anything. Like, when you were challenged, I didn't see anyone... Like, for example, if Patrick Dangerfield left my side, I'd be trying to barrel him.
Yeah,
his first opportunity I got.
You got a good point.
And I didn't see anyone go over and even make it a hard night for him. In fact, I saw him ragdoll a few of our players. So that's what I was frustrated at watching it, and that's where I reckon we need to toughen up a little bit there.
Yep, totally agree.
Yeah. You do. Absolutely agree. All right, totally that's good. Agree. Look, again, a lot of people have had their say. Now, I respect KG greatly, and I do. I think he's an icon of our industry in this state. He had this to say on Saturday morning on Triple M.
Look, I love Tex, but I'll say this. I'm questioning whether he should be our captain, to be quite frank with you.
Yeah.
I think Rory Sloane is the barometer. Rory Sloane, when he does a Sherwood, things like Sherwood does, which Tex is not doing. And I just wonder also whether it's time that Tex went back to the SNFL and got things right.
Now, Tex, we're sorry to play that to you, but it is in the public domain. It's been played out there a couple of times, so it's only fair that we let you respond.
Don't need to be sorry, Dits.
No, but there are a couple of strong things that he said, though, very, very strong.
Yeah, look, since he said it, when was that, Sunday?
Saturday and Sunday,
Saturday and Sunday, I haven't been able to sleep.
Come on.
He's it's really got to me. It hasn't got to me at one little bit. It doesn't bother me what KG gets paid by Triple M to have his opinion.
Yeah.
He can have his opinion, doesn't mean...
Does it fire you up, though, things like that? You wouldn't be human if you didn't get fired up by that sort of thing. If people said to me, and they do every day, I'm the worst bloke they've ever heard on radio, you do react. You have to respond.
Oh, if it was continuous, you probably wouldn't if you always listen to it. But I don't listen to his shows.
Mm.
So
that's it in a nutshell.
Yeah, I don't listen to it.
All right, let's delve a little bit deeper.
Mm-hmm.
And I want to preface this by saying, and I mean it, I do admire you. I think you're a great captain. You're a great bloke. And when you come in here, you have a presence. I think you're a real good leader. And I can see it when you're on the ground that you are the sort of bloke that people do follow. So I probably disagree with, well, I do disagree with what KG had to say. But you just agreed with Rue the lack of things that happened the other night. So should you have done more? Should you have shown a bit of aggression and perhaps done the things that Rue just talked about?
Oh, there could have been some things that I could have done better. I know there's a lot of care he said that I shouldn't have come off when I did.
But he says that about every forward. But I say the same thing too. I don't think he was having a crack at you when Duck said that, just to back you up there.
What we've got to understand is the game's changed a little bit. So we have rotations that are sort of pre-exempt. And I got told about five or six minutes before that it's your turn to come off. So the game was on the other side of the ground, up and down, up and down. I think it'd be pretty selfish if I went off when we're in defence, which we were most of the night, and left 17 blokes to defend the opposition.
Right.
I think that'd be a selfish by a leader to do that.
All right.
So I went off as soon as I could in the next break of play.
Fair enough.
And I think a lot of the time now, forwards are getting smashed about going off. That's the only time now that
you get
a chance to go off.
Mm. And in that game as well, they'd already had a situation where Sloane had been stuck off for 6 or 8 minutes. That's what happens when people don't come
off,
isn't it?
Just what
happens. Just to back you up, Tex, I think it's good that KG has his opinion. I don't think a lot of people agree with what KG said. I think there's certainly an element of the public that might, but I don't. I mean, firstly, in the captaincy, you have done a great job. I'm all for it, and I think Sloane would be a good captain too. And in fact, you'd both be good captains. That's what good sides do, have several good leaders, and I'm backing you in, Tex, to come out Friday night. Friday night's a big game for the club. If you didn't want to talk up last week, I think this week need to talk it up like a final, and the side need to deliver. Otherwise, there will be questions asked.
Mm. Mm. Tex, we'll have your dad joke in a moment. We'll have a laugh, but I have still got a couple of footy questions for you, all right? Is that okay?
I love your questions. I do.
Oh, yeah, thanks. And I love you too, Tex.
Thanks,
Tex. You're a good captain.
Sorry,
what's that on
closer,
the floor?
Eh?
Oh, your bottom lip. Just pick that up.
I
stirring you up. I want you to have a laugh. Come on. We're going to get you up for this week, all right?
Done.
It's Ruined Its with Tex Walker on Triple M.
Ruined Its for breakfast.
Tex!
On 104.7 Triple M.
That is just brilliant vintage, Walker.
Because that's where the Rangers gonna be.
It's Tex Walker, Crows captain.
Distinctive homes, perfect for your lifestyle. Our house, your home.
7:28, it is now, Tex. In the last 5 weeks, you've lost to Melbourne, North Melbourne and Geelong.
Mm.
What was the common thing? What did you take out of all of those losses? What have you learnt?
Probably the contested side.
Yeah. A lot of teams lose contested balls, still win the game. Is that just it? Is
Danny
it easy?
Hawthorne.
Is it easy to walk
that
away and go?
Probably when we get challenged.
What do you mean?
Well, when it gets into a bit of an arm wrestle,
yeah,
we're not responding at the
you
moment.
You go into your shell,
yeah,
as a team.
Yeah, we're more inward than outward.
All right, and this is what you're saying has been discussed.
Yep.
Within the change room.
This one has been discussed, like our first quarters.
Mm-hmm. You told us they hadn't been discussed.
Come on,
Bitsy. Come on.
Now, interesting question here from Simon has tweeted. Kane Corns has written an article in the paper today.
I saw that tweet last night.
Honestly.
Kane put it out that his article on Twitter about the players should get their salaries made public. And Tex, what do you say?
You go first.
You go first.
But it does happen around the world. Look, I don't like it. I think it's a bit personal.
Well, I'll tell you what will happen is players will be scrutinised even more.
Yeah.
But what he's saying is at least it'll be accurate about what your wages. If you're getting overpaid, you'll be scrutinised. If you're getting underpaid, like they'll say, oh, he should get paid more.
Look, I personally don't like it, but Tex, don't you find it interesting when you read about, I don't know, LeBron James? Oh, he just signed for $42 million or something.
Probably worth that.
But do you have any interest in it or not?
No, I was brought up with my mum and dad that you sort of never talk about how much you earn or you never ask people. I find it really disrespectful and rude.
I agree.
So I think it'd be ludicrous if the AFL did that.
Mm.
I can't see any positives out of putting out into the public what blokes are earning.
No, fair point.
He's been pushing that bow for a while though, hasn't he, Kane? Which, there's a lot of people out there who would like it.
Yeah.
It'd be interesting for the public. They'd have a field day.
Yeah.
Just having a look through and dissecting it. It'd be very, very interesting. Gil McLaughlin's wages put out, all the bank wages are put out there, all the CEOs of listed companies, they're all made public, premier. There's a lot of people's wages who are out there.
Mm.
But I'm not saying it's right or wrong, it's everyone's opinion, isn't it?
And I won't surprise you, I do this job as a hobby. I don't get paid, actually.
Really?
No, I just love
doing it. They don't pay you?
No, I roll up every hour, I can't wait to get here. Now, just moving on.
Do they pay KG?
Yes. Oh, but it doesn't worry you, though. No. Clearly. Obviously. Righto, Tex, dad joke to finish with.
Oh, it's a bit of disappointing. My old man's been arrested for stealing from construction site.
Really?
I should have seen it coming. All the signs were there.
Oh, God. Righto, good luck, Tex, against St Kilda this week. Get out there and lead the team as only you can, Tex.
Yes, good on you, Tex. Thanks.
Good on you, mate. Tex joins us thanks to Distinctive Homes.
Dave Gleeson here from the Screaming Gents, and I'm giving your suburb a brand new anthem with Triple M's Suburban
Songs. Hollywood Plaza in the summertime and Hollywood Plaza in the wintertime.
We're taking crazy stuff about your suburb and we put it into your favourite Triple M songs. This week it's Glen Eld.
You know I wish I could get to Glen Eld.
Hear all the songs at triplem.com.au. Get a brand new one every Thursday at 8:30. Thanks to Suburban Taxis. Rock them whatever suburb you need to get to. 131-008 Triple M.
Let's talk to one of our funny blokes, Peter. How are you? Morning, Pete. Now, Pete, how old are your kids now? Are they playing weekend sport?
Oh, they certainly are, Disc. G'day, Roo.
G'day, Pete. Funny bloke.
Got the Roo footballer. Roo Brenner Mills.
Keep going.
Keep going.
I got called a pinhead here by Ditz just before. That was good.
Oh, pinhead. Okay.
Yeah.
Can I say, we've got these, look, we'll just digress for a sec. We've got these brand new Triple M beanies for the winter.
Mm.
And
lovely.
Tex and I put ours on and our head filled the beanie.
Yours did.
Roo's had all this room at the top, and I said, well, the little pinhead, because our beanies were chock-a-block full, if you know what I mean. He couldn't fill out his beanie, and I said, we got a little pinhead.
Lack of hair.
Oh, is that what it is? Right. Maybe. Anyway, sorry.
Filling out the beanies, they're filling out the jeans, isn't it?
yeah, that's right.
I don't know about that. But, so I've got the three boys, 14, 12, and 8. So we get pummeled on Saturday. Like, we're free on Sunday and Friday, which is Friday night, which is pretty good, but we get pummeled on Saturday. This is our kind of our day on Saturday. It's we got a game of tennis, which is about 2.5 hours.
Mm-hmm.
They play a few sets, a game of hockey, and three basketball games. That's Oof. What we're that's what we've got to juggle, the wife and I. And to be honest, once you resist, you love it. Like I love it. You know, I try to help out when I can. But there are two jobs that send a shiver down my spine. That we have. There's a roster. And every now and then, every few weeks, it comes up, it's my turn to do, you know, the chip in, which is fine, but I must say, I get a bit nervous about it. The first one is canteen duty.
Yeah.
Canteen duty.
Like, all sports, like, when I played footy, we had, like, you know, a canteen stalwart, Mrs. Tyrrell, who just ran the canteen week in, week out, like Thatcher ran Britain in the 80s, you know. Like, she was just the iron lady of the canteen. Nobody had to help out. Mrs. Tyrrell had it, but the hockey club that Oscar plays with doesn't have such a person, so you got to share it around.
Mm-hmm.
And it is like this may shock you, but I'm more comfortable on the other side of the canteen counter.
I was going to say, you know what it takes to be good behind a canteen, 'cause you've been in front.
And I'm okay. Listen, I'm not an idiot. I'm okay when you know somebody's ordering a can of Pepsi Max and a hot dog. I can work that out. But when you start getting people ordering multiple dim sims,
yeah,
you know, maybe a Pepsi Max and a Fanta,
a long
maybe
macchiato,
maybe they want to take it to nerds, a long macchiato, yeah, they can order coffee now, maybe a King Python, a couple of Zappos, some Warheads,
yeah,
and all of a sudden I am rocking in the fetal position.
Not enough fingers and toes, are there?
Not enough fingers and toes. There's a guy I did it with. He actually did it with somebody else. His name's Chris. He's a marine biologist. He's smart. He's smarter than I am. We were both looking at each other after half an hour like we just walked into a birthing suite. You know, we had no idea how the mental agony you go through is the other. Now, the other one I hate, speaking of mental agony, and this is more pressurized, I reckon, is the scoring.
Oh, yeah. I'm with you there.
Mm.
Scoring at basketball and all that. Oh, God.
Because you get talking as well, don't you? And you miss a basket or something.
And then the parents will always know when their kid scored a basket. Yeah. And I have been involved in a couple of controversies with the scoring. Cricket is different than basketball because cricket, you have time. You have more time, but, you know, to kind of fill in what you need to fill in. But you need to fill in like so many different things. It's like you're filling in the Senate ballot paper over and over and over again.
Yeah.
But the basketball is pressure. And I it was my duty on Saturday, and I said to I always get the close games for some reason. And I said to the lady, Martine was her name, I said, listen, just so you know. And I tried to get on the front foot to kind of moz it so it wouldn't be close. But I said, listen, just so you know, I always get close games. So this will be a close game. And I said, I'm thinking, okay, it won't be close now because I've put it out there. And the old commentator's curse, you know about that. And It went down. My kid was the one who fouled on the buzzer.
Oh, undisciplined.
They'll point up. And he said, a kid, they already had 9 fouls. So the kid went to the thing. I'm a nervous wreck. And the other team, he missed the first one, got the second one. It was a draw.
What did Martine say?
Martine was okay. Because she was on... She was on the scoreboard. I'm safer on the computer where you can just kind of, you know, when you're on the scoreboard, you're very visible as far as, you know, if you don't get the points up there, if you don't stop the clock, stopping the clock is a nerve-wracking experience.
Shot clock.
Well, you got to stop it in the last minute for a whistle. It is so bloody nerve-wracking.
Are you sweating after all of this or what?
I'm sweating just recalling it. I want to say to junior sporting organisations, what you should have for parents afterwards: counselling, on-site counselling, and a little massage. Minute massage chair. Get there, and let's all look after each other.
What about after a big Friday night? It even gets even more confusing.
That's why I'm giving. I don't drink on Friday nights anymore. If I'm scoring, or canteen, I'm off the grog for the week. To be honest,
we can all relate to that, Pete. Weekend sport with the kids. Fantastic. Yeah. Good on you, Pete. We'll talk next week.
Got you guys.
See you, Pete.
Peter Hellier from The Project on Channel 10. As I've said to you, Roo, with our kids' soccer, to me it's all about, I say to them, who are we playing this week?
Oh, it's hard to score at soccer.
No, but they'll say, yeah, exactly.
Jeez,
you turn.
Is it still nil all?
Trouble is, turn and someone scores. No, it's all about the food. So if I know this week we're playing West Adelaide, Suvlaki. Beautiful. Yeah. Next week, say we're playing Modbury or Best Steak Sandwiches. I know.
So you don't even go to watch your kids, do you?
I know, food-wise, what each club's good at. Fantastic.
It's what the Europeans are good
at. Whereas you know, Aussie rules, you go, it's always a pie and a pasty or a sausage on bread.
Yeah.
In soccer, international cuisine. It's unbelievable. It's brilliant.
104.7 Triple M. The hard-hitting topics. The big issues.
Well, not really. But we are going deep inside the female psyche.
Ruined its angels.
Good morning, Angels.
Good morning, Ruindits.
Oh, very enthusiastic this morning, Ruin.
Now, first up, Batesy's back.
Batesy's back for another trial.
Second up from a spell.
Second up. Hey, Mel the Button Pusher, good morning to you.
Good morning.
How's the hot nanny going? Miss Argentina.
She's lovely, and she's doing a fantastic job, and she's just a great person.
What's that little jingle we sing?
Danny and the nanny.
So Danny's at home having breakfast this morning with the nanny.
Turn the radio off, babe. Let it off.
Late start again for Danny.
Just getting to work.
Enjoying breakfast a bit.
Getting to work at about 10 o'clock today, Danny. Right, we've got Alice the Wag.
Good morning.
You were spotted in the hills, out of control on the weekend.
At your house.
Yeah, no, but then you went to, where'd you go? You went to the Stanley Bridge Hotel.
Yeah, we did Prancing Pony, and then we just did a few little tidbits.
Righto. And back for a second time, we've got Batesy, whose first boyfriend was called Big. How is Big?
Haven't moved on.
No.
But he was little.
Yeah, he was.
No, you don't have to go there.
Righto. Now, first topic this morning, Wayne from Fulham Gardens has written to me. Dear Dits.
Wayne from
Fulham Gardens.
Right.
Dear Dits, you are my favourite broadcaster on Adelaide, right? Right. We'll get past that bit. No, he goes on a bit. Anyway, the second paragraph says, Dits, I need your help. I've got 3 daughters, 21, 18 and 16.
You do need help.
And I'll shorten this because the letter goes on quite a bit. But basically he's saying that he overhears them talking and he tries to lecture them about how much they spend. They've all got part-time jobs, which is admirable. They all work after uni and after school, earning their own money, have not saved 1 cent. Everything that comes in goes out straight away. Phone, clothes, shoes, handbags, the usual stuff. Spray their hair, spray tan, the whole thing.
Nails.
When he questions them about it, they reply with... Yeah, but Dad, don't matter. We'll get married one day. We don't need money. It's all about,
not surprising,
he says,
but no.
He hears them say this all the time. But I'll marry someone. I don't need to be saving
the blokes
money.
Will save.
Yeah, they'll save. They'll look after me. They'll have a job.
They'll carry me.
Mel the Button Pusher, did you do this yourself? And do you think this is a phenomenon out there?
I was.
Tell the truth.
I am going to tell the truth. I certainly didn't save well, if at all, when I was younger, but that wasn't because I was waiting on a Prince Charming to come along with a big savings account. That was not my plan. I was just crap at it. And I think young people in general are bad at it. men
should be taught more at school, shouldn't it?
And I think it also mostly it comes from your parents. My parents were shockingly bad at it themselves, so they didn't pass that on to me. So Wayno, I think maybe this comes down to you not teaching them early.
Well, he's trying to.
Gee,
Wayne, we've just lost a listener. Wayne's turned over.
Sorry, Wayne.
Prue, what do you think about this?
Well, I haven't got to that point with my kids yet, but I'm drumming it into them at an early age.
Can we expose Sarah? When you married Sarah, did she...
No, she wasn't too bad.
Yeah,
her job was she looked after the admin for a reasonable-sized business, so that was her job to be the Nazi with
fiscally responsible
and all of that sort of thing. So
okay.
She's not too bad.
Good on you, Sarah.
That I know about, anyway.
Right, Alice the Wag.
I used to be so good at saving.
Used to be.
I had my Dolomites account at school, and then I worked full-time in a pub while I was at uni and living at home and just saved everything.
Mm. Broke a lot of glasses, mind you.
Great hospitality. And then I kind of just discovered, like, I moved out of home and I just kind of thought, hey, this is my money and I can have some fun here.
Mm.
And have never looked back.
How many days do you get paid next?
9 days.
But has it crossed your mind at all that in the future, what about when I have to go into a house with Joel or anything like that? Do you, any responsibility at all?
Well, at the moment, I live in Joel's house that he owns. And I don't pay much rent.
You don't pay any rent, do you?
Do you pay rent?
Yeah, I do, but like just not like
weekly. Am I allowed to ask how much?
I pay just every now and then.
Don't lie.
Transfer him $1,000.
Maybe how long every now and then? Does that
Well, it
not
should be every 10
or...
weeks. Like, yeah.
So $100
a week.
You're kidding.
Pay for most of the groceries and stuff. And I cook and I do most of the cleaning and
Yeah, well, that's all
stuff,
fair enough.
So,
that's
yeah.
All right.
Righto. One of your better sentences. Righto, let's get to Batesy. What's your attitude with this?
Well, I'm brilliant with money.
Really?
So I am the one that bought $10 undies from Kmart on the weekend and my boyfriend bought a $2,000 drone. So, but it follows you when you walk, so it's a good investment.
Oh, yeah.
I'm great. I have all my accounts. I'm a bit psycho. I have like 20 accounts that I transfer everything you need to each month. So I'm good, but my parents were really good and my mum's in charge of the finances. So I'm used to that. So
right.
I think Mel's right.
But do you think when you talk to your friends in general, though, do they have that attitude? Like what Wayne is going through right now that, oh, no, I'll marry some bloke one day. And
no, I don't have any friends like that.
Well, that's good.
No.
That's good. All right, let's get to a soppy one. Let's get to a soppy one now. All right. We were talking to Alice off air this morning about she was a bit teary watching a film last night at home. Mel, the button pusher, the movie that has made you absolutely howl your eyes out.
I'm pregnant. I will cry at a tissue ad at the moment. If you show me a puppy, I'll bawl. But I cry in everything. I cry anytime a dog gets killed in a movie. I cry. I actually cried. I'm such a nerd in the final Lord of the Rings where the Fellowship, like, departs. What a nerd. That is so embarrassing.
I was sobbing
and my brother walked in while I was watching. He said, what are you watching? So Lord of the Rings. He just walked out and disowned me.
Righto.
I cried everything.
Roo.
Oh, is it Angels or me?
No, you. What do you cry at?
I cried when the Crows lost on Friday. Nah, I'm too hard to cry, Dits. You know that.
Come on.
That's
well,
a lie.
Well,
come
my
on.
Mates reckon I cried in Ghost back all those years ago. But I don't think I did. Alice?
You totally did. In the pottery scene where they're like,
yeah, I'm too hard for that. I'm too hard.
One that I will never ever get over, and to this day I can't watch it still, The Lion King.
Oh.
When he dies.
An animated movie.
Yeah, but when he dies and then
so
Simba
sad.
Is like trying to wake him up and gets underneath the arms of him.
It's not just a cartoon.
Of the dead
it's
body.
A cartoon.
It is beautifully the most devastating thing you'll ever watch. Oh my god, I actually am about to cry.
Oh no.
Look, she's tearing up.
It's so sad. He tries
he's
to wake him up and he's
cartoon.
Dead. Anyway.
Facing.
The show that gets me every time is Kids MasterChef. I bawl the whole way through.
Kids MasterChef.
It's just something about children and all that pressure. It just makes me cry so bad. I have to turn it over. I can't. Kids MasterChef.
Can't believe this.
Dudes.
I got too quick. Marley and Me.
Oh,
with the dog.
That
was horrible.
Oh.
What happened to the dog?
Well, I can't tell you. You've got to watch, otherwise I'll ruin it for people that haven't seen it.
Is this a new movie or
no? No, it was out 5 years ago. Oh, a bit longer.
Yeah,
give it
it's
away,
got
then.
Owen Wilson.
It's a classic.
Oh, Owen, yep.
And like, it's his pet
and Jennifer
forever,
Aniston.
And it's all through his marriage.
Best
and
mate.
Oh, it's just actually so sad.
And then the other one is Shrek. When you, yeah.
Oh, fuck.
Nah, isn't that your biography?
That's a love story. Yeah.
Animated movie.
Love story, yeah.
Fiona.
When Fiona actually becomes fat, you think, but she used to be hot, and then she's not. And
so
then,
is that what you're crying at, that she's got fat?
That shocked me at first, that bit. Yeah.
That's what you took out of Shrek.
Took me a while to get over that. Disappointed.
She got married and boom.
She was hot, and then she wasn't.
Yeah. So you cried?
Well, I was just shocked, yeah. A bit disappointed more than cry. Anyway, that was the Angels for today.
I think we need to take calls tomorrow, Dits.
Yeah.
On films that have made men cry.
Yeah. Made think, men cry.
Oh, that's a yes.
Good one. Yes. Women, yeah, the ladies can dob their man in. The man that says, I never cry.
Yeah.
What was the movie that got him? That's a good one. We'll do that tomorrow.
Okay.
Ruined Dits for breakfast. 104.7 Triple M.
104.7 Adelaide's Triple M. Ruined Dits for breakfast. Rue, the world is changing every 24 hours, unfortunately, and for the worst. We know what's happened in Manchester and London. Yesterday in Melbourne, also a gunman shot at police. He was then gunned down. We're hearing about Qatar, the nation of Qatar, this morning, isolating itself from all of its surrounding nations. The Arab world are now fighting amongst themselves, it would appear. We worry about the future. We worry, I mean, we are now being infiltrated.
We know
the Lindt Cafe situation in Melbourne. Donald Trump's getting on the front foot and talking about immigration bans. We heard a fella on Melbourne radio yesterday, very, very impressive man, retired Major General Jim Molan, and he's got some very strong views as this as well. He joins us now. Jim, a very good morning to you. Thanks for joining us.
Chris and Mark, lovely to be with you all.
Jim, moving forward, if you were in charge, what would you do? We just mentioned Donald Trump. He's talking about some drastic measures. I know that Pauline Hanson is very outspoken in this country. Are they on the right track? Do we need to restrict things like immigration from certain parts of the world?
I think we need to really show that we have national resolve. I think that that's the key. And what we do has got to be acceptable to our population, and it's interesting at the moment because what the Brits have gone through, I think, indicates that there is a new form of terror. Terror and conflict change all the time. And I think that we are in a new terror, and I would do a number of things. I would, and it's difficult to say this because I'm no great supporter of President Trump, but I would limit travel and I would limit migration from terror-influenced countries. I would limit the impact of the internet, as Prime Minister May has been saying.
And how do you do that?
I have no bloody idea, mate.
Yeah, because I said the same thing this morning, but I got no bloody idea either, but someone must have.
No, well, you'd like to think that Prime Minister May might have it, that Google and the big users, the big internet service providers,
YouTube and those
how to do it.
Yep.
The real irony is that we do more against pedophiles on the internet
than
we do against terrorists, and I just find that quite bizarre.
No, it's a very good point.
I do that. And as I say, I don't think Australian society is up to this yet, but I think the Brits are rapidly approaching it because they've been hit time and time and time again. You know, we saw one shot yesterday on the video that came out of London where an unarmed Bobby, God bless us, an unarmed Bobby was running away from the bad guys whilst beautifully armed and equipped counter-terrorist people were, and of course the emergency providers, the medics, etc., were running towards it. Yeah. I think that, and our police are armed, I think it's well past the time that the Bobbies all had personal arms.
Well, we were shocked to hear that in the last couple of days, not all policemen on the beat in London actually have a firearm, which is incredible. Jim, I want to ask you something we've discussed in the last day or two is the way that they reacted in London, where three policemen just went bang, 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 fired 50 rounds and shot dead the three perpetrators. Do you have faith in our system here? Do you believe when we look at what happened with the Lindt Cafe and what happened in Melbourne yesterday, do you believe our forces are well equipped and can handle terrorism?
Yes, I do. But some of us have an idea of kind of a Hollywood level of perfection, where as soon as the police go in, they're perfectly successful. No one gets injured except the bad guys and no police get killed or blown up. And the reality of life is that, and I like to say it about the Lindt siege, the reality of life is that the New South Wales State Police handled that very, very well. Not perfectly, of course, and the individual tragedy of the two good people that were killed, and I'm not counting Manmonis in that, of course, the individual tragedy you can never get away from, but they did handle it. They did handle it well. But London's got a, and Britain's got a real advantage over us. I think Britain's about half the size of Victoria, and there's 70 million people there. You can afford to have secreted throughout the likely parts of London. You can afford to have bands full of coppers that are prepared to go to come roaring out and to be on the scene within minutes. Mm. There was a report yesterday which said that within minutes of this occurring, a helicopter landed on London Bridge, God help us, landed on London Bridge, and a special SAS team got out. They weren't used because the local police were so brilliantly equipped and handled it so well. So I think the time for the Bobby with a baton in his hand has passed, and the time for us to put the rights of individuals within our society ahead of the rights who want to kill people who want to kill our children. I think it's time that we got to that stage.
Roo, more with Jim in just a moment. Retired Major General Jim Mullen. We want to ask, I know something you've gone on a lot about, is the situation.
They're all the people that commit these crimes, even in Melbourne yesterday, they're known to police.
Known to police.
I reckon we need to be able to not just watch them, but do something a little bit more aggressive or forward-thinking.
All right, let's ask that next. Triple M. 8:15, Ruined It's here on Triple M, all thanks to Adelaide Tools and a financial year sale. Our special guest on the line is retired Major General Jim Mullen, a man with 40 years' experience in the military. He served time in Iraq and at one stage was in charge of a division of 15,000 men.
Jim, something else that Ditz and I continually speak about is people that are known to police. Now, I know there's, I think there's 400 in Victoria, for instance, and I think I heard there was 23,000 in the UK. Continually, people who commit these offences are known to police. Has the time come, or have we got the power, or should we create the power for our politicians or police to now be able to
round them up,
pick these people up, or do something a little bit more aggressive perhaps than just be on a watch list?
I think the kind of terror we're seeing for various reasons I call new terror, but the old consistent thing from most of the attacks is exactly what you've just said. After the event, as they're identifying the bodies, they find that the individual was known to police. For example, I think the Manchester killer had been reported 5 times in 5 years. Manmonis, we all know that he got a bunch of reports into the intelligence and police organisation in the week before he committed the act.
And the Melbourne fella yesterday was also known.
You're quite right. He was known to the counter-terrorist people. But and the other thing is, immediately after the event, they go around to the house, pick his devices up, and they arrest 10 people. Mm. Now, what you're intimating, I think, is where the Brits are about to go. And Prime Minister May said yesterday that she wants to extend the custodial sentences available to people. I don't think that's enough. There's a long tradition in the UK and in many Western countries of what used to be called internment. Now, internment was used in the First World War and the Second World War to put away whole classes of people. For example, all the Japanese were interned in places like the US. I don't know what happened to them in Australia, but in places like the US, all the Japanese were interned until they were cleared. In the UK, most recently, during the troubles in Northern Ireland, the Brits and the Northern Irish government, for as long as it lasted, interned a lot of IRA and some of the loyalists, and they really stuffed it up. They abused them and they tortured them, and it was terrible. But there is an argument. If someone comes to the attention of the police because of intelligence methods that cannot be used as evidence or are too sensitive to be brought into the public, there is a mechanism whereby you can, if someone comes to the attention of the police by intelligence methods, then there is a method whereby you can have a tribunal that looks at that, the same way the police go to a judge to get a search warrant. Mm. You go to this group of two or three people and you say, listen, this guy is likely to develop into a terrorist. And but we can't try. We can't put him on trial because we don't have the evidence that can be used. And the evidence that we do have is pretty conclusive, but it's highly sensitive. Mm-hmm. These people are cleared to the top secret level, and you can then intern them. I think this is the way. Yeah, we're not ready in Australia for this. And I doubt, you know, it's depressing, but I doubt we'll be ready for it until after we have the bad hit. But I suspect the Brits are certainly talking about this, and I suspect they'll do it.
I reckon it's a good idea to be ahead of the pack if I can on this one.
Jim, thank you so much for joining us. Very, very interesting, thought-provoking stuff. Thank you.
A pleasure, guys. Lovely to talk.
There you go, Jim. Retired Major General Jim Mullen. By the way, just looking at his history, Roo, I mean, very, very impressive. Deployed to Iraq. He was the coalition's chief of operations. He was in charge of 15,000 soldiers at one stage in his army unit. Very experienced man.
Served our country for 40 years, highly decorated and respected. So,
Major General Jim Mullen.
Ruined dits for breakfast. On 104.7 Triple M.
Hey, Belle, the button pusher, Roo, came bounding in the other day. And I thought it's time to have a bit of fun. So Mel, the button pusher, came in, because we've been talking about all this heavy terrorism stuff, right? And she's got this hidden talent, which I'm about to introduce right now. This is award-winning radio
right here.
Now, Mel, tell us about your hidden talent.
Well, I can put my hands together, like a bit of a clap.
Yep.
I can play any song you guys want. What song do you want to hear?
Sober, or do you have to be...
Well, it's only 6:48. I have to do it sober.
But when do you usually show everyone your hidden talent?
I haven't actually done it for years. I was thinking...
Oh, gee. Pressure.
Obviously, I've got a bit too much time on my hands.
Being a mum does this too, does it? Yeah. Takes away your talent?
Yeah. Right, it takes away my time to display my talent.
What's your favourite song, Mel?
Look, I'm not going to play Pearl Jam. That's a bit tricky on the old hand flute.
Right.
Let's give me something. What do you like? Dids?
Well, I want to give you something half reason. Don't dream it's over. We heard it yesterday by Crowded House.
All right, here we go.
Don't dream it's over. Unbelievable.
You need alcohol.
Yeah, seriously. Now, there you go.
That song makes that a lot more
so
fun.
That's Mel playing songs with her hands.
Yes.
Alice the Wag has got a hidden talent. What's yours, Wag?
I can wiggle my ears.
Which works on radio.
That'll be hard with your headphones.
Just show us here so we can prove it.
Okay, ready?
Righto. Wow, look at that. Her ears are going backwards and forwards. There you go.
Yep, pretty good.
How long did that take to work out?
Is it in the genes? Can the whole family do it?
Well, it's weird. My grandpa can do it and no one else in the family can.
Skip the generation.
Yep,
you're just like grandpa.
We can write a book on this. Now, Mel, does your whole family have this talent or just you?
My brother and my dad and myself. My mum was happy to not be part of it.
It's a whole band.
Yeah.
Mm.
Hey? The traveling Wilburys.
We had matching outfits. Play at the RSL in Queensland.
Right. Now, Roo, what about the Ricciutos? Anything that you lot can do?
I actually can wiggle my ears, Wag. I'm in your corner. But I can also fold my eyelids, mate.
Oh, hang on.
Oh,
there you go. This is what
we're after. All my sons can do it as well. So
I'm
teaching them good behaviour.
You are. Righto, this is groundbreaking. All right, as I said, award-winning radio. This is how important this is. We've got a double to go and see the Crows and St Kilda. We want to hear right now, and if they're any good, we're going to get you into the studio and we're going to film this. It'll go online as well. Hidden talents. We want them right now, please. 133353. I don't know. Can you blow a trumpet out your backside and sing a song or something? I don't know. Any hidden talent you've got, we've got a double to go and see the Crows and St Kilda this Friday night. Give us a ring. 133353.
Ruined dits for breakfast. 104.7 Triple M.
We have stooped to a new low on this program.
We have. We've got Tex Walker coming in very, very shortly and Pete Hellier coming up just after that. But we had a couple of minutes to kill and, gee, we've got some hidden talents. We've got a couple of phone calls that have rung in, a couple of callers. G'day, Ashton from Para Hills. How are you?
G'day, gentlemen.
Righto. What's your hidden talent, Ashton?
Well, I can actually lick my elbow.
Oh, hang on.
Lick your elbow.
Hang on. We're all trying.
Have you got short arms or a long tongue?
I think long tongue.
I'm throwing it.
I can't.
You're not double gelling it or
I can't
in
it.
Any way?
No, it's just my shoulders are buggered, so I can probably get my arm up further to my mouth.
So you can lick your elbow.
Tell us how you found out one day that you could lick your elbow. What were you up to?
Yeah.
Oh, I don't know. It's just a joke. Everyone's like, can you lick your elbow? Everyone's trying to do it, and I could actually do it. So.
Right. Well, you're leading so far, Ashton.
Good work, Ashton. Let's go to Hillbank. Dits. G'day, Scotty.
G'day, guys. Hey, I've got a great talent I'd love to share with you in the radio station there.
Right.
If I eat chicken, preferably barbecue chicken,
yep,
and I wash it down with Coke, if I move, jump up and down, I can give you the worst fart smell that'll make you dry.
Oh,
no,
come on, Scotty.
No, keep that to yourself. I think Scott
barbecue chicken and Coke combo.
Righto. Adam at Henley Beach. Hello, Adam.
G'day, boys. How you going?
Good.
I can do the baby noise. Like a crying baby.
Righto. Hang on. Now, nah, is that really you?
Come on.
Yeah, it's me.
What,
no way.
Yeah, it is, man.
That's perfect.
How did you get good at that?
Oh, I just got onto it, started doing it. Mates had kids and stuff.
Right, one more time. Give it to us again.
Oh, that's not you.
It is.
Promise.
Hey, Rudy, get Tomo back in the side.
Get Tomo back in. Need a bit of hard stuff to do.
There you go.
A dummy in that baby's mouth. You're off to the footy.
Talent. He's a selector as well.
You're off to the footy, mate. Well done. Crows v St Kilda. Friday night at Adelaide Oval. It'll be a huge game.
How talented are our listeners? Seriously.
Oh, absolutely.
That's what I've worked out.
Yeah.
Out of that segment.
And there's plenty more to put on.
We could do this for 3 hours. We might one more.
They were just the normal people, yeah, those ones.
We should do a Red Faces one Friday. Line all these lunatics up and see what we can
put
get
on Facebook Live.
Ruined Dits for breakfast. 104.7 Triple M.
8:45, Ruined Dits. Thanks to Adelaide Tools here in their end of financial year sale. Roo, yesterday, the events of Melbourne, another terrifying situation. A gunman shot dead by police. But I tell you what, if I was sitting in the Channel 7 newsroom, it would have been very, very unnerving. Nicole Bland is the chief of staff in the newsroom in Melbourne for Channel 7. She joins us now. Nicole, thank you so much for sharing this with us. What actually happened to you yesterday?
Well, we basically heard that there was an unfolding story going on in Brighton around about 4:30. There were reports of an explosion. So I dispatched a crew and reporter straight out to the scene. There were a lot of differing reports coming in. People were calling the radio and saying that there were police out there, very heavy police presence, but we really didn't have a lot of information. So then at about 5:40, I took a phone call direct to my news desk. Yep. Flashed up with a mobile number that I didn't recognise, which is not unusual because we get lots of calls. And there was a woman on the end of the line who was speaking very quickly. She sounded very distressed and I couldn't understand what she was saying. So I asked her to repeat it and did that a couple of times and I still couldn't understand her. I just knew that she sounded very distressed. Mm. And then I was almost at the point, I think, of hanging up the call. But then a man's voice came on in the background and he said, "This is the Brighton hostage."
Shit.
And as soon as he said that, the penny dropped that, okay, this is the developing story that we're covering now. And my first thought was, oh, he's probably he's a witness or something. Mm. He might have some vision that we can use in the news tonight. So I said, you know, "Where are you? What can you see?" And he came right up close to the phone and just spoke very clearly and calmly and said, "This is for IS. This is for Al Qaeda." And
what was your response to that?
Well, I just asked him to repeat it. I think I couldn't quite believe what I was hearing.
Yeah, did you believe it, or you weren't sure at that point, I suppose?
I wasn't sure. I mean, you know, we get a lot of crank calls and things, so you just never know. But there's something about the call, the woman's voice. She did sound really panicky, and then him saying that, he repeated that again, and then he hung up. And I just immediately thought, no, we've got to ring the police. So we called the police, gave them the mobile phone number, told them what had happened, and they told us that not to broadcast the call and just to wait to hear back from them. And they eventually called back and said that they had established that that phone call had come from within the Siege building.
And that girl was from an escort agency. They've just been flashing across the screens recently, the hostage, I think.
Yes, I heard that.
That's a weird thing for a person who's about to do a sort of a terror attack to have an escort with him, isn't it? A little bit strange.
Very, very strange circumstances. But the terrorist apparently was on a counter-terrorism watch list.
Yep.
Mm.
So they knew about him. He was on bail as well. So he was known to police and they responded accordingly. And we waited until the siege was over and the woman had been rescued, and then we broadcast what we knew about the call.
So, Nicole, did that phone call leave you a bit shaken after work?
I think initially I just had the adrenaline going and I just needed to get the information to police and then to our reporter and just get the story to air. I think it was after the police rang me afterwards and I had to go down to the station and give a statement. I think once I'd done that and then I learned, you know, all the detail that we know now about who he was. It's just unnerving. It just feels weird.
Yeah, for sure.
Never expect to be in that kind of situation. But, I mean, my thoughts are with the woman and also the person who's dead and just the police who were injured doing their job.
Yeah. Good on you, Nicole. Thanks so much.
Well spoken.
No worries. See you later.
Thanks, Nicole Bland is the Chief of Staff in the Channel 7 newsroom. What a call to take.
Unbelievable.
104.7 Triple M.
104.7 Adelaide's Triple M. Ruined It's for Breakfast. Roo, the Murray River is your backyard. You're passionate about it. What's happening with the carp?
Well, a little while ago, a lot of people in South Australia were a bit surprised to hear that carp were going to catch herpes. Everyone knew that was going to be bad news for them. But it's a plan to try and eradicate carp out of the Murray River, which do a hell of a lot of bad things to the Murray. They pollute it. They make the water dirty. They do a lot of trouble up there. But it looks like that plan's gone to the next level. Mm-hmm. A lot of people think that's already happened out there, but it hasn't actually already happened. And one man who is front and centre, this is Matt Barwick. His nickname is the Carpinator, and he joins us now. G'day, Matt.
G'day, guys. How are you?
How'd you get the Carpinator? I like that nickname.
I'm not really sure where it came from, but it does seem to have stuck. Mm.
So a lot of people, when they read this article a year or so ago, thought it was just going to happen soon and carp would be a thing of yesterday, but it hasn't happened yet. Where are we up to with eradicating carp from the Murray?
Yeah, so look, the announcement back in May last year was really to identify that funds had been allocated to some much-needed planning, particularly around delivering research to make sure that the key questions were going to be answered before we make a decision on how to go forward, and public consultation. So we've just launched our research plan, which is essentially our blueprint for how we propose to answer the questions on people's lips through research to ensure that when we make a decision at the end of next year or when governments do on how we go forward with this, we make it with the best evidence available.
Matt, there are thoughts that when you implement this plan, there's something like two million tons of fish. Now, are we going to see dead fish floating down the river? That's my first question. How will you dispose of them? What will the smell be like?
How will you use them?
Yeah, look, they're all great questions and all very central to our research program. So one of the first things we'll be doing is improving our precision of the biomass estimates of carp in Australia. So as you mentioned, there's estimates of around 500,000 tonnes up to 2 million tonnes. That's a really big range. We need to get a better estimate, and that's one of the things we'll be doing. The next thing we'll be doing is answering the question, how much of that biomass would we need to remove from our rivers to maintain water quality? And then the third component is, okay, from a mechanical perspective, how do you go about doing that? There's obviously lots of methods that have been employed worldwide for cleaning up really large fish kills. We want to pick the eyes out of the best methods and the most appropriate ones here in Australia. And last, the point that you just made about, well, what do we do with that biomass? What I'd like to see is as little of that biomass go to landfill. So we could do some really smart things with this fish protein, and we're going to be doing a research project to explore all of those options as well.
When does it look like it'll go ahead? Have you got a rough timeline?
Well, look, so the research program that we've just kicked off will be running over the next 18 months. That'll inform a decision at the end of next year on how made by governments on how we go forward. So the earliest this could happen is early 2019. But I need to make the point that we need to choose our timing perfectly here, because we need to choose the timing that is the best to get the bang for buck that we need. So we know that flow is important. We know that temperature is important. So it's important that we do this right, not fast.
What, high flow and high temperature, or?
Well, when I say flow, it's important that we have lots of water in the system so that we can manage water quality. And in terms of temperature, it can't be too cold, it can't be too hot. It's the old Goldilocks theory. So between about 15 and 28 degrees Celsius, this virus does what it does best.
Right. And so by the sounds of it then, this is going to take maybe, what, a 3 to 5 year plan, something like that?
Well, here's the thing. So the dramatic reduction in of carp numbers in the long term is that, and recovery of native fish is actually a 30-year strategy.
Right.
Most of the heavy lifting will be done in the first 3 to 5 years, absolutely. But we'll also be needing to do other things to recover native fish and to keep carp numbers down. So, you know, I guess one really important point I want to make is even though carp is in the name of this program, the National Carp Control Plan, this is ultimately not about carp at all. It's about recovering native fish communities so we've got better quality recreational fishing and much healthier waterways in the future.
All right. Well, just send a message out to the carp out there. If you're listening, carp, you've got 18 months to run amok in the Murray, and then it could be very ugly for you.
Yeah. And, Matt, just a word of advice that if you, anything you do in the Murray, you've got to ring Mark Ricciuto.
Ring, mate.
And you've got to ring his old man Murray as well. Right. No one touches Wakery without getting their approval.
That's right.
All right. They run the
joint. Duly noted, mate. I've been told.
You're dealing with the mafia there, I can tell you.
Carbonator.
Yeah. Good on you, Matt. Thanks for joining us.
No worries.
He is the Carpinator.
Don't miss a minute of Ruined Dits for Breakfast on the Catch Up podcast. For Adelaide Tools, with 5 locations, Paraka, Lonsdale, St Mary's, Gawler and Mile End. Or go online at adelaidetools.com.au.